15:13, and the last verse. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Just speaking of these three points, of these three wonderful truths, these virtues, the last three or four Sunday mornings, we'll be finding some truth in this morning. The whole scheme and plan of God's wonderful salvation, it is deals with man, encircles these three points. Faith, hope, love. There is absolutely no salvation for man. There's no getting to heaven by man. There's no way in which God can be glorified unless man exercises faith. The Bible's very clear on that. It tells you over in Hebrews that without faith, I think it's Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so it is essential, if anyone is interested in salvation and wants to get to heaven, to be sure that he or she has saving faith. Not a historical faith, believing that Columbus discovered America, which he did, but this is a different faith. Not just believing in Christ as a wonderful character that came into this world 1900 years ago. No, this faith that God is speaking about is a faith that saves the soul and glorifies God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's a small thing, but it's an important thing. S-A-I-T-H. Faith. I read a story one time of a ship out at sea, and a lady saw the skipper of the ship, and he was hurrying across deck, somewhat excited, as if something serious was wrong. And she said, "What's wrong? Something wrong?" "Yes, madam. Something is wrong. Our rudder's broken." "Oh," she said, "I wouldn't worry about that. That's below water. No one can see it. But why worry about it?" "Oh, yes. That rudder is the most important thing. We'll never reach our destination unless that rudder is fixed. And then you'll never reach it unless you have that unseen power, that unseen faith that man cannot see, but God sees. Faith in him. God knows the artificial faith. He knows the genuine faith. Faith, saving faith, in what Christ did for you upon the cross, will take you to heaven, otherwise no. I want to say this, that the most faulty Christians, and there are many faulty Christians, a faulty Christian is better than the best sinner on earth. Because that faulty Christian has done something that pleases and glorifies God that the best sinner hasn't done. That is, that faulty Christian has believed wrong. That faulty Christian has trusted Jesus Christ, whereas that sinner has. That sinner may be self-righteous, honest, and able character, may give all his or her money to feed the poor, make all kinds of sacrifices. God says without faith, and that faulty Christian is going to heaven because he did something that best sinner didn't do. He believed God. And that's the best compliment you can give to Almighty God, is to believe it. With a trusting faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. I wonder if you have really believed God this morning. Without faith, there are things that men have done, we thought at one time were impossible in various fields. In other words, in the field of medicine, in the field of electronics, in the field of the military, and other fields, men have done wonders. As you said before, why, when I went to school, we talked about the cow jumping over the moon. If you had told people back then that a man would go to the moon and explore it and come back to Earth, they'd take you to an insane asylum. Why, that's impossible. That's impossible. Many things they thought in these fields many years ago, that's impossible. That doesn't exist. Today, it is. But when you come into the field of the spiritual and have to do with Almighty God, God hasn't changed. And man hasn't improved. Like man has in his other fields. It's still the same thing from Genesis to Revelation. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And yet men and women are trying to improve and improve and improve. I just read an article yesterday about the church that died by improvement. In other words, they came up with so many improvements. They improved the church service. They improved their schedule of meetings. They even improved by getting a modernistic preacher. And they improved the clock. And after a while, the church closed up. It died by improvement. People are trying to improve themselves, Man is trying to lift themselves up by the bootstraps. Friends, let me say it still stands without faith. Old-fashioned faith. It's impossible to please God. Well, that's in your Bible. I'm going to give you a remarkable text here. In Luke 18:27, I think we spoke a little word on this few weeks ago yesterday. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, that is, when he saw the rich young ruler, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The word impossible is a sad word, a depressing word, meaning there's no hope. You can't do anything. It's just absolutely impossible. God goes on to point out from the Lord Jesus things which are impossible with men. And if there's one thing that's impossible for man to do, that is save himself. You can't save yourself. The Lord said, except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He meant just that. You can't. And never will. You've got to have faith. Exercise saving faith. Complete trust, absolute commitment to the word and work of Christ. In order to be saved. Your works will never save. You're saved by grace through faith and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should do. Now look at the illustration of the Lord Jesus. He said that this camel is just as impossible for a man to save himself as it is, and he mentioned a rich man too, and a moral man. It's just as impossible for him to be saved as it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, back in those days, they called the gate going into the temple, into the city, because those cities were circulated, big walls circulated around them, and here and there, and it was for security purposes, here and there there was a gate, and that's where the camels used to go in. They had it at a certain height. They had to strip the camel of all cargo. And sometimes the camel had to get on its knees. And there'd be some pulling and some pushing. They were trying to get this big old clumsy animal through that gate. but it was a difficult task. And in many cases, impossible. But then let's take that Mabel's eye to mean something else. Something that you ladies, as you get old, you can hardly thread. The real eye of a little steel leaf. Could you get a camel through that? You certainly have to reduce it to something pretty small. Something like liquid and fluid, I know how still it would be. Now friends, you may strip yourself of all bad deeds. You may get on your knees and try and humble yourself. People may pull and people may push to try and get you into heaven. But you're not going to heaven that way. You've got to be reduced to such a size that you're absolutely zero. Nothing. And so says Christ, it's impossible for a rich man or a poor man to save himself. But what's impossible with man is possible with God wants him to save. God has to save. And only what he can do through Christ will ever take you to heaven. And that's the lesson of this passage of the Lord Jesus. What is impossible with men is possible with God. When men give up their hands or throw up their hands and say it's impossible, I can't do it. All right, says God, I'll do it. That's what God wants you to do. If you want to go to heaven, he wants you to just give up trying to save yourself. I cannot save myself. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness or salvation. Now notice Abraham, he was 90 years of age. And far as Sarah was concerned, in fact, she reached 102 years, and they had no teeth. And according to the laws of nature, they were dead. Abraham mentions that. God takes Abraham out and says, Abraham, I want you to look at the star. Can you count those? I'm going to give you a seed. After morning than all the stars in the sky. And he said, I'm going to, you look at all that sand in the desert. I'm going to give you a seed as numerous as that. So shall thy seed be. Abraham did put up a little argument. Lord, how can that be? I'm an old man. I'm selling my wife, his family. Abraham believed God, and God saved him. He believed God against all the resources of nature. Well, nature didn't have any resources in this world until he said. And against nature, the impossibility of nature, God saved Abraham. God did. Because Abraham believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Then when man comes at the end of his human resource, realizes how impossible it is for him to put away his sin, to give himself eternal life, or get on the narrow road there. But God's got to do it. Salvation is of the Lord. Then God will do it. But the difficult thing is to get man to the end of the road. To a dead end street. Where he's got to turn around. And face God. And say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. And I'm going to accept Christ. He's my only hope. Without faith. Impossible to believe. I cannot have the salvation I want unless I come to Christ. It's impossible. I cannot be the servant I want to be. Without him, it's impossible. Without him, I cannot endure the sorrow through which I may pass. Without him, it's impossible. I cannot go to heaven. Without him, it's impossible. I've got to have him. I can't overcome sin. Without him, it's impossible. But with Christ, I can do all this. Without him, nothing. Faith, mighty faith. Do you have faith that a grain of mustard seed, and will you be positive in the Word of God, that tells the story of God's salvation to you, and you'll be born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth in us. Oh, that man will put that tiny seed of faith in this wonderful loam, this wonderful soil of God's Word, and say, God, I believe it. That ground, that wonderful soil of scriptures, is red with the blood of Christ. And only when you put your faith in the precious blood of Christ shed at Calvary, will you ever go to heaven. Then you come to the next quote. This is wonderful thing, this thing called hope. Salvation first. You don't hope to be saved. Faith has saved you. Then comes hope. Hope is something that still teaches. Hope has to do with the coming of the Lord. For what a man seeth, what did he hope for, the Bible says. If I see a thing, I no longer hope for it. But if I'm told about a place that I've never seen, or a person I've never seen, I've got to exercise faith. And then I hope someday I'll see that place. Is that what it says? What a man seeth. Why did he yet hope? I haven't seen the Lord come. I haven't seen heaven yet. But it's mine. I know it's mine. Faith has gotten me on the road. And the coming of Christ is my daily hope. Something I'm going to endure, and read about the patience of hope. Oh, yes, hope is a wonderful thing. Peter says, 1 Peter 1:3, God hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation. In Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed. 1 John 3:3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a hope this is. But this is the most wonderful verse in the Bible of hope. It's in Hebrews 6. That by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. In speaking about impossibility, it's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Though sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, whither the forerunner hath but us entered, even he. This is a remarkable thing. Here Paul is giving us the picture of a stormy sea, but inside the bay of the harbor, everything is quiet and calm. And this boat has been able to throw its anchor inside the harbor. But the ship is still knowing something of the rough waters outside the harbor. It knows it's going to get in because the anchor is there. And friend, I know I'm going to be in heaven because my anchor is there. Jesus Christ is there. And he's the first fruit. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. I'm going to make a statement. You may be shocked. I'm just as sure of being in heaven as Jesus Christ is. But he said that.
Yes.
I have an ink. It was then the day that Jesus Christ knoweth.
This is our hope. The hope of the Christian.
Someday, the stormy sea will be left behind as the wind through the mountains into the harbor.
Ah, yes. The one who kept me while I was on the rough waters outside the harbor is the Lord Jesus. And he's going to pull me up to the quiet harbor waters. That's what the Bible says.
This is the hope. It's sure. This is the answer. Sure and steadfast.
This anchor won't crash. This anchor is firm and packed within the faith where Jesus Christ is.
How wonderful is this book, Mr. Walter.
The very fact that the Lord Jesus is already there is
the assurance, the guarantee, the pledge that I'll be there.
And every born again Christian will be there.
You want any better hope than that?
Death for thine love. This is God's wonderful tradition.
Titus, he says, looking for that blessed hope.
Not talking about salvation. It's gold, saved. Faith took care of that.
Now this is what the fruit of faith.
Looking forward to that blessed hope.
The fulfillment, the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I've got a ticket.
Yes, the ticket on the trip to take you to some wonderful place in the world.
But I haven't been there yet. I've been offered a trip to the palace several times. But I turned it down.
People today get a ticket. They're going to France, or they're going to the Far East, or they're going to the Near East. They got the ticket.
They're not there yet.
But they got the ticket. It's just a matter of waiting a few days, being a little patient. And you do that.
Faith gives you the ticket.
Then, you just wait for the fulfillment of your hope. That'll be when you're with them like Christ, whatever.
A wonderful quote is 1 Thessalonians 4:18.
He says, "Ye sorrow not as others which have no hope."
Who are these that have no hope?
The unsaved. They don't have any hope. They have no Christ. They have no God. They have no salvation.
Ephesians 2 says that.
I was shocked with something I read last night. That the world population is now about 4 billion. Would you believe me that 2.7 billion people on this globe are without thought, without hope, without Christ, without salvation? And 1.3 billion have never heard the gospel. And some people in this auditorium this morning are among those who are without hope for 2.7 billion. You're hearing about it, but you haven't accepted. And you're still among those in the sight of God, 2.7 billion inhabitants on this earth who are without Christ, without God, without hope in the world.
Most of them haven't heard the gospel.
You have.
And that'll be your company forever as you go to see the Lord Jesus.
And this is it. They claim that only 200 million in the world are born again believers. 5% of the world's population.
Sad thing is that.
Yes. How wonderful to have this hope of going through the Christ in enlightenment, joining loved ones round the holy church, isn't it? We sorrow not as others that have no hope. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we forever be with the Lord.
Wherefore, comfort one another with this hope.
What a comforting hope on a family reunion.
a comforting hope of the existence and life Christ, whatever. To finish that verse over in Job 8:40, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust will be as a spider's web. There is some of you who are not old enough to recall this incident. It happened out in California some 40 years ago. It was the story of the human fly. The man who thrown up his building, climbed it. He was called the human fly. He was climbing this building out in California as the crowd gathered. 22 stories. And he went up. And he went up as the crowd stood with their mouths open, watching this man drop that gray wall. From window sill, up, and up, and up, and up. Finally, he hesitated. He needed one more ledge with his hand and then the other one over the roof. He hesitated. He saw a dark gray lake, as he thought. He had to kind of gaze gradually. And he did, and then he plummeted to the pace and the chisel. He clutched in his hand was a spider's web. The spider had woven its web across the court. And a lot of soot and dust and dirt had gathered, and it looked like a little cement ledge. And he put his trust in it. And he caught his whole feeling of a spider's net. Yes. Friend, are you putting your hope in a spider's net? Your good life, your church affiliation, some church organ, or your good deeds, or your talent. Are you trusting in these things? If you are, like this, you're put together, spider's web, it will cost you your soul. We need something more concrete than that. We must have the solid, firm Word of God. Oh yes, how many are going to go off and take that fearful plunge? They didn't have Christ. They put their faith and trust in something else. Now the Bible says that. We hope to have the spider's web. When you think of the word hope or hope, it's a sad, sad word. I think some of you possibly have heard about Lipton. I've heard about him since I was a boy. Like you've read his exploits, like we have, about his sailing vessel. He won many a trophy. He's a great seaman. And he won many a trophy. World trophy. Because of his sin. He came to the end. And this is what he said. He's a multi-millionaire. Just before he died, he said, I'd give up every trophy in my collection for the one I haven't got. That is, a hope of heaven. And eternal life. That's it. Mm-hmm. He was well known as a winner in both English and American boat races. He won many, but he lost the last. He lost his faith. Then so, railroad official, then dying, confessed, I have lived too much for secondary things in life. And not the name, eternal life, the new birth, and peace with God, just for the taste. He too died without hope. Hope is a wonderful word in a field of sport. Many a time you've likely seen a score attended a game, and see that multitude, both games. The hope and the fear. Oh, they're hoping they're going to win. Some fear they won't, What are they watching? That clock. The time comes when the clock stops. Gain hope. And the hope for those who hoped in him dash. Too late. Yes, the clock's gonna stop. Time's run out. And you didn't have your faith in Christ. What makes sadness to those who are on the losing side, with joy to those who are on the winning side? Tie that up. Then when Jesus Christ comes, it's going to be wonderful. Those of us who are saved, it's going to be awful. Those who are lost. How wonderful to have this sure and certain hope of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, faith settles your salvation. The coming of Christ will be the end of your hope. For you see it. What a man sees, why does he yet hope? And so we need these wonderful things, faith, hope, and love. Abraham demonstrated faith. Job demonstrated patience. Read about the patience of Job. Through Jacob, he illustrated love. He worked 14 years to get Rachel. Do men work 14 hard years to get their wife? He did. That love. Oh, yes. Wonderful, Lord, have faith. Wonderful to have tucked in your heart the hope of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Of then love. How wonderful is love. Faith accepts, but hope expects. Faith appropriates, but hope anticipates. Faith believes, and faith, hope expects, and wait. Faith is the root of this. Hope is the root. Faith sends out hope to tell us what's coming. The Lord. Hope is the last thing that dies in a human heart. The parents lose a son or one gone away. They hope, hope. Someday that son will look at. Think of the ones who are hoping that some of those prisoners out in North Vietnam, one of the war, they still hope. They cling to those around the dying dead of a loved one. Oh, they hope. Maybe the tide is cold. Hope is the last thing that dies in a human heart. How wonderful to know that a following hope is love. Wonderful. Hope is the rainbow that encircles our darkest life. Hope is the star that shines in our darkest night. Hope, how wonderful you are. Faith, I'm saying, but all that hope, that hope, that hope. Christian hope is the coming of Christ. You've heard Christian hope is the coming of Christ. Faith has faith. Now, what does he hope for? He hopes for a new body. He hopes for a new environment. He hopes for a new society. He hopes for a home. And he'll get that way. How wonderful your hope. Goodbye, but I just need a little patience before I get. But love, what about love? Love's a wonderful thing. The greatest of things is love. No man was dying in Glasgow, Scotland, and he's a Christian, and he got a visit one day. And they chatted for a few minutes, and then he said to his visitor, I've just had Jesus. He said, I'll just listen to it.
Oh?
Yes, he said, the first visitor is this faith. And I said, faith, I sure appreciate you, but I'm going to say goodbye. I thank God for you, faith, for your company, that I first trusted Christ. But now I'm going where I don't need any more faith. Faith gives way to Christ. Then he said, the second visitor is the Pope, and I said, Pope, farewell. You have been a real help to me. You've helped me through many battles and much distress. But now I shall not need you anymore, for I'm going where hope passes into reality, into fruition. But then love. Love, you have indeed been my friend. You have linked me with God and with man. You've been with me all during my pilgrimage. I can't say goodbye to you. You will pass through the portal of the kingdom. And love is perfected in heaven. Faith, hope, and love is the faith of me. Will see love personified in the person of Christ. Then love will have its fullness. Nothing to mar it, to chill it, to cool it. Love, the love of God forever, this love, is not generated on earth or manufactured on earth. This love is in a person, a man, Christ Jesus. It can be yours as a free gift this morning. This verse gives us the strongest shield in the world, faith. This verse gives us the safest anchor in the world, hope. This verse gives us the greatest pain in the world, love. Love is like the dove that Noah released in the morning over the troubled waters. There you see Noah with that dove, that lovely white bird he's holding in his breath. He looks out over the troubled water in the morning, and he let her go. All day long he was watching and watching and watching. Finally he sees something coming. It had flew all day, evening, now on. It was the dove that came back. Noah took it back into his bosom and into the ark. 1900 years ago, God released the Holy Spirit from the day of Pentecost. Since then, that lovely bird has been flying up and down the centuries over the earth, dwelling in the hearts of those who want. One of these days, when we're getting near Eden, the dove's going to return from the one who released it. Love will go in its present capacity back to heaven when Christ comes to his church. Faith, hope, and love, these are the grace of these. Love forever. What wonderful anticipation. This will be the portion of all who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This hope and love, not obtainable by money, that's impossible. Obtainable only in the first, God is love. And Jesus Christ was the expression of the Father. He is perfect love, and perfect love casts out fear. Need not fear if you have love, perfect love, agape love, Calvary love in your heart. Ah, yes. So in your heart this morning you must be. Faith in Christ, your security. You You have hope, and you're satisfied. When Jesus comes to the wicked one, then you'll be satisfied. How wonderful. He says, satisfied, secure. Faith, hope, love. Do you know that? If not, why not? Join in the Albany Gospel Chapel with Jesus. You need Christ. You need one who is the reservoir, the source, the supply of this love, is divine. It's not human love, it's not fickle. This is heavenly love. This love came from heaven, it's going back to heaven. There's no love in hell, only hate. Whatever. You want to go to that place, you will not. Rain, except Christ, and deal. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before thee, we ask thy blessing on thy word. We thank thee for these things thou hast given us in thy word. Thank thee for all who have by faith received Christ. And have nestled within our hearts even now that blessed hope, the purifying hope of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then love, when face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, I shall be like him. Oh Father, what a day. Face to face. Christ my Savior, face to face, what shall it be when the rapture I behold? Jesus Christ, desires for me. Bless thy word of the salvation of sinners, and the edification and comfort, thy beloved people. We ask in our Savior's name. Very soon, in closing, 365. Softly and tender, O Jesus, calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portal. He's waiting, he's watching, watching for you and for me. You're not a Christian. You come to Christ. Let us stand and say, 365.